completing the mission. Second part, re-recording of a lesson given on April 14th this year. So we've worked to become soldiers, and now it's time for action. We talked about becoming a Christian. We've got that banner that we have on our heart that says that I'm a Christian, I'm a soldier of Christ. But you know, sometimes we can become a target. Once we are a Christian, all those people that aren't like we are now after us. Satan is our number one adversary. As soon as we become Christ, we are no longer his, and he wants to go after us. So that banner that we have over our heart then becomes a target for Satan. So now we've got a target on us, what are we going to do? Now just remember this. Ephesians 6:10-12 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places." We just discussed what it takes to become a soldier. We need to be ready for battle. 1 Samuel 17:38-39 said, "So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword in his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, 'I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them.' So David took them off." David was not ready for battle, trying to wear Saul, the clothing that Saul had. In 1 Samuel 17:40, it says, "And then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch, which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine." David was prepared for battle with just a staff, a sling, and smooth stones. Saul, on the other hand, as a king and a very strong and big guy, he felt that he needed to be a little bit more prepared for battle. Each of them had a different role to play. As soldiers for God, in this case, as we're looking at it spiritually, they had different ways to be prepared. Saul's armor was excellent. Why did it not work for David? Well, I can tell you, in 1 Samuel 9:1-22, it says, "There was a man of Benjamin, whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Ephiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a choice and handsome son, whose name was Saul. There was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people." Pay attention to that. We talk about Saul being a big guy and a big strong guy, but look at his dad. He was talked about as being a mighty man of power. And out of this man came this son. When Saul was a king, his armor was made just for him and no one else. So what was David's appearance? Was he strong and tall and handsome and rugged? Let's find out. 1 Samuel 17:42 says, "And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, when he went to him in battle, he disdained," and I inserted that there, "he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking." So David had some good looks, but that wasn't going to help him in battle. It just says he was a little small kid. Saul and David were both men of war, strong, courageous, and capable. But like us, not everyone is the same. Not in size, not in shape, not in mind or spirit. We are all soldiers on a mission. 1 Corinthians 12:12-14 says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free. We have all been made to drink in one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Many members indeed. Below are a list of roles that you can fill in the Marines." Going back to our first lesson, taking a little comparison between the Christian soldier and the real soldiers of this nation. And they're just a list of only the Marines. What I'm doing now is I'm scrolling through this whole page that you can also find on Marines.com about being a Marine. Marines.com, being a Marine, roles in the corps, and view all roles. Air controller, air support, anti-air warcraft, air list, aircraft maintenance list, aircraft maintenance fixed wing list. These are all just lists of the roles that you can have. And each one of these lists online, if you go to it, there's anywhere from 5 to 20 roles that you can play within those lists. Continuing on, aircraft maintenance, rotary wing list, airfield list, service list, ammunition and explosive ordnance disposal list, aviation logistics list. There's close to 100 just on this page alone. And for each one of those, there's many individual roles that can be filled. So, just trying to be a Marine, there's plenty of ways that you can fit in. Christians can feel like their roles in church are petty and not important to the group. That's not true. Ephesians 4:11-13 says, "And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Remember number 6 from our earlier list on 8 tips for successfully completing basic training? Number 6 was help your buddy. In the Army, a new enlistee may never get to drive a tank. But if you can't hide the tank in camouflage, the mission could be lost. In the Navy, a munitions officer may never get to fire a gun. But if the shells are not ready for firing, the mission could be lost. In the Air Force, a mechanic may never get to fly the fighter jet. But if the pilot can't use the plane because it's got a problem, the mission, again, could be lost. In the Marines, a map technician may never do a beach landing, but if his calculations are off at all, again, the mission could be lost. It's all about teamwork. Romans 12:3-8 says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, that everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Their orders are our orders." Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth," or the age. Amen. So the orders to the apostles are the same orders that we have today, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Staying strong is imperative. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong." The enemy wants to deceive us. In 2 Timothy 2:26, "That they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." Remember that enemy that's got a target on us? That's Satan. He is our adversary and he wants to kill us. 2 Corinthians 11:3, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." We can win with God as we try to complete the mission. Joel 2:1-12, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. The earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives a voice before his armies, for his camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it?" God's army is also unstoppable. If we are enlisted, let us move on to victory. Away from the front lines, soldiers can feel unappreciated. A question and answer session that I looked at on a thread online reads as follows. And the question was, do soldiers feel unappreciated when they return from war? One of the respondents that had come from war said, "I think many of us do." He says, "The military will trust a 21-year-old sergeant with million-dollar equipment and the lives of a squad of soldiers, but when he comes back to civilian life, he'll be lucky to find a job with half that responsibility until he's at least 40. The commander of the forces knows what each one has done, so we know that in the military, the commander of those forces understands everything that those soldiers have done. The successes they've had, the failures they've had, they know everything about them. But when they come back to civilian life, there's a lot of times people don't know anything about them. As Christians, when we're trying to complete the mission for Christ as soldiers, we need to understand that our commander in heaven is always watching out for what we're doing, both positively and negatively. He knows what each one of us have done. And he also knows those who are his and those who are not. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." So knowing that your commander of the forces knows what's going on, and He's going to protect you. Deuteronomy 31:8, "And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Joshua 1:5, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." Over and over again, God is telling us He will be with us if we're on His side. The strongest army, the most caring commander, just perfect relationship. God is in control and strong. But in the church, we are the support group for one another to hold the line. 1 Thessalonians 5:11-13. "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." Hebrews 10:24-25, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more you see the day approaching." The Christian soldier's retirement plan. 1 Timothy 6:12, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Revelation 2:25-27, "Behold fast to what you have until I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father." You know, even the best soldiers still feel the pressure. Think about this. Numbers 11:13-15, "Where am I to get meat to give all these people?" This is Moses talking. "For they weep all over me, saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' For I am not able to bear all these people alone, because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I have found favor in your sight, do not let me see my wretchedness." You know, talk about a good soldier. Moses was a great soldier. He was absolutely indispensable for the success of the Jews getting out of Egypt with God's help. But even in that situation, as such a great leader, he, from time to time, would just feel like, "These people are driving me crazy. I can't stand it. Just kill me and take me out of this misery." Soldiers today feel the same way. Sometimes the battle just works at them too hard. Moses was more than a champion, but even he felt overwhelmed. And we can certainly feel overwhelmed too. So in closing, becoming a soldier prepares you for battle, but battle we must. Satan is not after us when we fail, only if we succeed. When you think things are going bad for you, hopefully that means that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Soldiers must wear protection and be tested. Make sure that you're wearing all that armor talked about in Ephesians. The battle is fought on many sides and in many ways. Force diversity is the key to success. Over and over, we see in the New Testament talking about many members. You know, you need to be able to have the diversity that each person can help somebody else achieve the mission. And the mission will be difficult. We must support one another and admit when we are wounded. We can't just keep on going around when we're missing something important to try to have our welfare. Our commander never forgets us or leaves us alone. We know that that will never happen. As forces, sometimes we may be forgetful, but God will not be. Neither will Christ. Individually, we'll be measured, not by the actions of others, but we'll be measured by our own actions. And finally, success is forever in completing the mission. Thank you for your time on this re-recording. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have questions, please get back to us at www.waynesvillecoc.com, the site that you're on now. Go to us in the contact section, or you can find us on Facebook. Thanks.